I would invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. And let's look together at a few verses regarding forgiveness today. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verses 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Skip down with me to verse 16 now. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Under the old covenant, there was a remembrance of sins made every single year. This was because the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. But now, we are under a new covenant. And under this covenant, sins are not remembered. Under this covenant, sins are forgiven. And to live under this new covenant of forgiveness, we must practice forgiveness as well. Sometimes it's harder to forgive someone than it is to ask for forgiveness, especially when we're very, very close to the person who we really need to forgive. And so this morning, I would like to talk a little bit about practicing forgiveness. As we think about practicing forgiveness, it's not our purpose today to talk about the conditions of forgiveness, but to think about what it means for me to forgive someone else. And how exactly do I do that? And so as we think about practicing forgiveness today, we're going to look at some attitudes and some actions that I can incorporate within my life to practice forgiveness. And I hope that each one after this lesson will understand how to have the proper attitude towards someone who is in need of forgiveness and who is seeking forgiveness. And as we contemplate forgiving others, this should also turn our minds to reflect upon the great forgiveness that God has given us as well. And in our lives, recognize the wonderful forgiveness that God has provided, and in turn, be willing to provide forgiveness for others. First of all, in order to practice forgiveness, we must recognize that God's forgiveness of us is dependent upon our forgiveness of others. What do I mean by that? We mean that if I am not willing to forgive, and if I don't forgive other people, and if I hold things against other people within their lives, then God is not going to forgive me. That makes forgiveness and practicing forgiveness a very serious matter, a matter that we really ought to err on the side of liberality as opposed to the side of reservation. In other words, it would be better for me to be liberal about my forgiveness of others than it would be to be reserved with it. Because if I don't forgive someone who I should have forgiven, then guess what? God's not going to forgive me. So I want to forgive as freely and as generously as I can. In Genesis chapter 50, and verses 15 through 21, we read the story, the end of the story of Joseph here. And you remember that Joseph's brothers wanted to kill him. They wanted to murder him, threw him down into a pit. But instead of killing him, when this caravan of people came along, they sold him into slavery. And those people took him down to Egypt, where he was sold into the house of Potiphar. And then, of course, Potiphar's wife did very poorly by him. And then he was placed into prison. And as a result of being in prison for a while, then Joseph was elevated to be the second in command in all of Egypt. And as time passed by, there was a famine in the land, and his brothers came looking for food, and Joseph recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. You know, Joseph could have taken that opportunity to take vengeance on his brothers. He could have got back at them. In fact, he was trying to get it to where his brother could stay in Egypt with him, and possibly even get to the point where he could get his father maybe even to come to Egypt, I think is what he was working on. But eventually he couldn't take it anymore. He broke down. He told them who he was. And then they were able to bring Joseph's father and his family down to Egypt with him. But then after his father passed away, the brothers were fearful. And they were concerned that now that the father was dead, that Joseph would take vengeance. Look in Genesis 50 and verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, "Before your father died, he commanded saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers in their sin, for they did evil to you. Now, please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." What a great example of forgiveness. But notice Joseph's attitude. He said, "Am I God?" Of course, the answer to that was no. He was not God. He was not in the place to wreak vengeance upon his family. He was not in the place to have his will be done instead of God's will. No, he was not God. He forgave his brothers. And he knew what forgiveness meant because I'm sure Joseph had sins within his life that he needed to be forgiven of as well. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verses 14 and 15, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Jesus told the story in Matthew chapter 18 of a servant who had been forgiven a great debt. And in the telling of that story, Matthew chapter 18 and verses 23 through 35, this same servant had one who owed him just a little bit of debt. And that servant went out and took him and threw that other servant in jail, and word got back to the king who had forgiven this servant of his great debt. And at the end of the story, it says in verse 34, "And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And Jesus said, 'So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses.'" The lesson that we learn from that is that we need to be forgiving of others. If God has been so generous as to forgive us the great debt that we owe him, how much more ought we be willing to forgive the very small pittance of debt that we or that others owe us? And so in order to practice forgiveness, We've got to recognize that God's forgiveness of us is dependent upon our forgiveness of others. But second, in order to practice forgiveness, we need to respect the value of the one who needs forgiveness as God respects that value. There was an old Indian chief by the name of Maskapatoon, Chief Maskapatoon. And in the various wars and fightings that his tribe did with other tribes, someone murdered his father. And when Chief Maskapatoon went and found his father's killer, he approached him and he said these famous words, "You have killed my father, so now you must be my father. You shall ride my best horse and wear my best clothes." Instead of having the attitude of vengeance, Chief Maskapatoon instead treated this person as if he was his dearly beloved. And in so doing, he put vengeance out of his heart and elevated this other person to the status where he really needed to be to recognize his true value. God does that for us through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 through 10, we read, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some will even dare to die. But God commends his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." In essence, God has done the same thing to us that Chief Maskapatoon did to the one who killed his father. God has said to us, "You through your sins have killed my son. Therefore, I will make you my son in his place." He has reconciled to us and he has saved us. And what a beautiful picture that is of how much God thinks of our worth and our value. Oh yes, he has raised us up to sit in the heavenly places in Christ. In Matthew 18 and verses 11 through 13 we read, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." How think you? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that one which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, truly I say to you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 that did not go astray. God values us so highly that he's willing to go to the ultimate lengths to bring us back to him. If we respect the value of those who need forgiveness, then that will help us to practice forgiveness. Let's not define people according to their sins, but let's define them as God has defined them, respecting them as people created in his image and then purchased by the blood of his Son, Jesus the Christ. But third, in order to practice forgiveness, we need to act toward the one forgiven as we would want God to act toward us. Think about that for a moment. How do you want God to act toward you? Do you want God to be forgiving with you? Do you want God to be loving with you? Do you want God to be understanding with you? Kind with you? Generous with you? Merciful with you? Then that's exactly how we need to act toward others who need forgiveness. There's a story about a man and his wife that were having marriage problems. And they went to a counselor, and the counselor said, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your criticisms of one another, and I want you to put them in a box. And then after a week of doing that, I want you to open the box and pull them out and to look at them with each other. And at the end of the week, they got together and they took their criticisms out of the box. And while he had criticisms one after another that he had listed about his wife, all that his wife had wrote on her criticisms were the words, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, over and over again. We need to act toward those who need our forgiveness as God would act toward us. The Bible says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. And in Colossians 3, in verses 12 and 13, we read, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also you do. Oh yes. Forgiveness means that we don't stack up the criticisms against one another, but instead we constantly find ways to tell one another how much we do love one another, because isn't that how we would want God to act toward us? And then finally, in order for us to practice forgiveness, we should make every effort to forgive as God forgives, by forgetting the trespass that others have made against us. Now this can be tough. This can be difficult to do because the flesh is constantly warring against the spirit and constantly trying to bring up those shortcomings of others in our mind and constantly reminding us of those things. We need to fight against that. We need to forgive one another's sins as God forgives by forgetting those things, putting them out of our minds. And you know, I've found that if we really want to forget something, we can forget it, but we've got to make an effort to forget it. There is another story of a man who allegedly could talk to God. And so one day, as a test, a friend approached this man and he said, you know, if you can really talk to God, then you'll know all the sins that I've ever committed. And this man was a Christian. And even though this friend wasn't all that stable, nevertheless, he would talk to him and he would be friendly to him. And so he told him, he said, if you can really talk to God, then tell me all the sins that I've ever committed. Surely God would know those things. So the man went off to a corner for a while and he mumbled a few things to himself and he came back and he just looked at him and he said, I asked him, but he said that he forgot. You know, I would hope that that would be exactly what the case would be with every one of us when it came time for us to be judged. That we would have so lived our lives in forgiving others and in God forgiving us. So when that day of judgment came and we stood before that judgment seat of God, that we could honestly say, you know, I simply did not want to remember the things that others have done against me, and so I forgot them. And in turn, God would look at us and say, then I have forgotten your sins as well. In Psalm 103 and verses 10 through 11, the psalmist writes these words. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And in the verses we read earlier, in Hebrews chapter 10, in verses 16 and 17, the Hebrew writer makes it very clear what exactly God's attitude is under the new covenant. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Are we practicing forgiveness within our lives? Are we recognizing that God's forgiveness of us depends upon our forgiveness of others? Do we respect the value of those who need forgiveness as God has respected our value? Do we act toward the one who needs forgiveness as we would want God to act toward us when we need forgiveness? Do we forgive as God forgives? Do we forget? After the Civil War, there was a lady who was pining over much of her destroyed property. And she came to one old oak tree that had been there for years and years and years on her family's property. And there beside the oak tree was Robert E. Lee. And she was visiting with him, and she was explaining to him how she didn't know how this old oak tree could be repaired. It had been damaged so greatly by those federal troops, and it looked like this oak tree was going to die. And she kept pining over it and worrying about it. And he finally told her these words, quote, "Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it." Oh, what great advice for us. When the sins of others stand before us as that great oak tree might stand, and it has made of our life a wreck and caused so much damage and destruction on that which we call ours, how much better is it then to simply cut it down and forget it than to leave within our heart the great bitterness of agony that is unforgiveness? Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it. The greatest advice that anyone could ever offer regarding sins that have been committed against us. What will our attitude be today in seeking and practicing forgiveness? Perhaps you need the forgiveness of God within your life this very hour through hearing His Word, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized to identify with Christ. You can be forgiven of all of your sins. You can cut it down and forget it. And God will forget those sins. And those around you will forget those sins. And you can go forward a new person, having all your sins washed away. And what a wonderful feeling that is. And what a wonderful life you will have from this point forward by being forgiven. And then you too can start practicing forgiveness of others. Perhaps you're a Christian, but you need the forgiveness of God for some public sin that you've committed in your life, and you'd like to make that known this very day. Then you can come forward and ask the church for forgiveness and for prayers, and we stand willing and ready to forgive you at this very moment. If you committed some private sin, then go to God privately and ask Him for forgiveness, resolving to repent of that sin within your heart, and God will forgive you, and you can once again keep going forward, living the Christian life. And so if you have a need this morning, we invite you to take advantage of the great forgiveness that God offers to all, while together we stand and while we sing.